This episode of ELR is brought to you by Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/extralife and get your free audiobook download.
All right, let's go.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com, where the codes Life1, Life2, and Life3 continue to save you money on domains, hosting, and more at GoDaddy.com. Additional help comes from listeners like Anders B. Sorensen and Greg Houston. This episode is for you guys. Hey everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 222 for Thursday, July 30th, 2009. It is almost August and it is a Thursday evening. Welcome back everybody. Sorry we're late this week, but we're late for a few reasons, not the least of which is Obsidian O Abnormal, as you all know him, is in Kineticon, but we are here in his stead. Joining me tonight, I'm Scott Johnson, by the way. Joining me tonight is the usual Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com and Comics Coast to Coast. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you, Scott Johnson, for having me on the show tonight. Was a little surprised it was a Thursday instead of a Wednesday, and we can blame that on no.
Well, it gives an excuse for you to say the words Thursday and Wednesday.
Thursday? Yeah, that's right.
You haven't done that in a while. Also joining us, sitting in, pitch hitting once again, standing in for Obsidian, is CNET.com's very own, The Real Deal's very own, Buzz Out Loud's very own, Sword and Laser's very own. Wait a minute, there's a few more. East Meets West's very own.
Getting tired.
Forecast's very own, Tom Merritt. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Scott, even though I can't draw.
That's true. You're the one non-cartoonist here. That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think about that. You ought to try, though. You should do a little something.
You can do it.
Oh, you don't know.
Album art.
I could do it XKCD kind of thing.
Oh, all right.
Oh, well, nice.
Look at that guy. He's on fire. You should totally do that.
I don't even think I'm as funny as he is. So, yeah.
Well, honestly, that is the key with XKCD. That's the key.
That guy's hilarious.
Without that guy's a sense of humor, he's screwed. Because at the end of all that, it's stick people.
Yeah.
But he's a funny guy, and therefore it works. So good on him, I guess. We never really talked about that, primarily because that guy kicked up a lot of stink in the sort of normal webcomic circles not long ago.
There was
a lot of sort of controversy about whether he should be given the time of day, you know.
Because, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Because he draws stick figures, you mean?
Yeah. Mainly because people who really have honed their art feel like, that's, you know, this is just a mockery of what we've worked so hard to do.
Yeah.
It seems a little.
Because they took all that time to learn how to draw, and they're like, wait, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, I know it.
Crap!
I could have just worked on being funnier.
Stick figures?
Yeah. Well, look, here's the deal. The way that stuff works is if you put something, the internet just changes the whole game. If you put something up there and for whatever the weird reason people latch onto it, that's it. That's all you need.
Yep.
So there is no rule that says, you know, Charles Schultz did not approve this comic. So I'm.
You don't even have to be able to draw. I mean, look at LOL Cats. It's, you know.
It's cats.
It's cats.
With
it's pictures
text.
Of cats.
Yeah.
With funny cats.
Yeah.
Which are usually very funny.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But they've ruined Impact as a good font for me because it's so prevalent in LOL Cats.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So you're saying I just have to be constantly creative.
Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah.
I'm out.
I'm done.
Tag out. All right. Well, I'm thrilled to be here. It's great to have another show. We have a lot to cover, including a bunch of Comic-Con stuff. But before we do, I have to tell a story, and you guys have to listen to it.
All right, let's go.
The entire listening audience has to listen to this. So here's the dealio.
I've been waiting for this.
I committed a felon, my first felon. Now, is it felony. Is it a felon if you haven't been convicted of anything or even suspected?
No, you can still commit a felony without being caught.
Sure,
I mean, look look at America's Most Wanted.
All right,
You just don't get to add convicted to your title.
Okay,
you're not
that's
a
right.
Yeah,
Just a felon. I'm an unconvicted felon. All right, fair enough. I just realized that the chat room is seeing some text that's totally stupid, so I'm going to change it on the air. All right, hello, chat room. Sorry about that. I'm thinking of you. Okay. Moving on. Let's go back. So the story. All right. So I went, as everyone knows, I had a little vacation, a little week-long family reunion on one side of the family, getting ready for round two coming up here in August. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, none of my family really listened, so it's fine.
Yeah, and those must be some real mountain folk, because you said you went up to 10,000 feet.
We did. We went to we rented a big multi-family, multi-room, like 6 rooms, 5-bathroom cabin way up in a ski resort. It's about an hour outside of Vegas called Brian Head.
Nice.
Yeah, how you like that?
Nice. I like that. I thought I felt something up there.
Is it? Let me know. Is it a big mountain with some glasses on and a goatee?
No, but that would be awesome. That's funny. I didn't even think about that. The air was so thin there. It was, at one point, we were almost 12,000 feet up, and I was so like my brain wasn't getting enough oxygen. I couldn't think.
Yeah.
So even that joke failed me. I couldn't even think of it.
So you have a defense.
Yeah, I have a defense. Oh yeah, that's the other thing. That's true. I have a defense. Okay, mitigating circumstance. We are way up above sea level. Okay.
I was insane, Your Honor, from lack of oxygen.
I don't know if it'll hold up, but I'm gonna try it. So we get up there, and here's the thing. My sister gave us all an email and said, "Here's where it is. Here's the address. Here are our directions. Here's the Google Maps link. Blah blah blah." So everybody ahead of the leaving had this. Okay. I went to go print it because I'd forgotten to last second, and I went, "Oh wait a minute, honey, I need that thing, so I'll go print it real quick." I forget that Gmail sometimes has issues. If you select a bunch of text and choose print selection only, it shifts a bunch of crap to the right. You lose paragraphs and chunks of text. And I didn't even pay attention. I just grabbed it off the printer and we ran. It's about a 3.5-hour drive. And we get down there and we head up the canyon. I'm like, all right, let's get these directions out. So I get them out. And the odd thing is it made freaking sense. Like, I'm reading it, and it's like, oh, yeah, it says go here, then go here. Yeah. And all the pertinent stuff is there. And I'm like, well, we got this. We totally got this. Well, my phone quits working. AT&T quits working about halfway up the canyon. So I was like, that's not going to work. By the way, Verizon didn't do too well either. So it's not a knocking.
I didn't have any luck when I was out in Utah with Verizon in all the mountains. It was horrible.
The mountains are bad, out in the cities and stuff, it's fine. Yeah, mountains are always bad. So anyway, we're driving up there, and it says turn left to this street. Okay, we got that. Turn right at this house. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Oh. Wait for it. Wait for it. This may be the most dramatic part of the story.
Okay. Oh, I may or may not edit that out. I'm not going to say. But anyway, so we get up there, and it tells us all this stuff. And at one point, it gets on the street, and it says, all right, you're going to be 4 cabins. On the left side, it's 4 cabins up at the top of this one street.
Yeah.
Well, what I didn't know is that a big piece of text, this is like a movie, a big piece of text was missing between those two sentences that would have made all the difference in the world, but it actually worked cut off. Like, it wasn't a broken, wrong sentence.
Yeah.
It actually was correct directions.
It got us
somewhere. Yeah. So
the four cabins in Vegas, the part that you missed.
Right. So we get up to this thing. We see these 4 cabins. Ow, I just hit my head on the microphone. Sorry. Hold on a minute. I'm going to blow my nose. I'm pausing.
Dude, you're having trouble. You're having some
having a hard time.
You're spilling your guts here. You're talking about a crime.
I'm starting to lose it.
Where's this going? You went into the cabin. Somebody said you shouldn't be there, and you shot them all. I mean,
not quite that felony.
Is this like a viral advertisement for that stupid new movie coming out?
What movie?
Is that what you're doing?
It's a total bait switch.
What movie are you talking about?
The honeymoon one? Yeah, the Honeymoon Killers or whatever it is.
Oh, no. It's not that. All right, so I'm back. Wait, I'm going to pause and blow my nose. Hang on. Okay, we're back. So anyway, we get up there. It says, this is when I start to have trouble. We get to the cabin that it clearly says where we're supposed to go. And Kim says, this looks like the picture I saw. I'm like, okay. I thought, okay, well, we're first here, so what's the code to get in the garage? And she says, well, it's on the email. So I pick it up, and it says, when you get to the garage, it's on the left side on a tree, the little battery thing. And I look, and sure enough, left side on a tree, battery, button pusher thing. And it
so
says,
this is the wrong place?
No, it's the right place so far as we know.
Well, this story sucks then because there's no twist. Where's the twist?
Wait, you wait.
So we got the key out. We went inside. We had a great vacation.
No, you wait for this. So it says the keypad's on the left. It sure was. And then it says enter the code. Brr, it's cut off. Right where would be, it's cut off. So I'm like, we don't know the code. We're going to have to sit here and wait for my dumb sister, and she doesn't have her phone.
She's
not dumb. I
love how
back.
You start blaming and start hating on everybody else whenever things don't go your way.
Yeah.
Stupid sister.
I love my sister. I'm kidding. But anyway, I'm waiting for her to get up there, and nobody's coming, and we're there forever, and I have to pee. So, and it's raining a little bit, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pee on the side of this house. Not on the house, but like in the weeds to the side. So I go leave my I go leave my DNA over there. That's significant here in a minute, what that could mean. And she's not showing up. So I said, well, can we walk around and look for an open window or something? And Kim says, yeah. So we checked the doors. They're all locked, of course. Checked all the windows. They're all locked but one of them. It's shut, but it's not locked.
Yeah.
And there's a screen in front of it. You got to kind of pry out of there. It's like spring-loaded screen thing. So I said, Kim, I am going in there, dude. We got to, like, get settled. This drives me nuts. We're out here in the cold. The kids have to, you know, they got to go number two. So let's get this going, right?
Number two, that is too funny. I love how you have to.
Well, I'm not going to go, Nick needs to take a. You know, I'm not going to. That's not usually how it
Holy
works.
Holy crap.
The so don't worry. I'll rooster that out. No. So anyway, got to keep our clean rating, right?
Yeah.
So I get Kim and I say, all right, let's go get these two. They have these barbecue scrubbers. And on the end of them, they have the little flat edge thing.
This has
you're
nothing
to
do with using the bathroom, right?
No. I'd already peed in the weeds. So
well, I meant part two.
No, part two hasn't come yet. So I go and we jimmy this thing open and it slides right up. I'm like, sweet. I open up the curtain and immediately I think I see a big lumpy dude laying on a couch. Okay, but it wasn't. It was just blankets of some sort. So my heart dropped for a second. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're screwed. But it wasn't. I thought, okay, well, this is still probably the place. So I said, Nick, come here. You're little 9-year-old. I'm going to shove you through the window. And
so so you're implicating your children.
Oh,
in this
totally, column. Totally. Yeah. They're accessories to the whole thing. So I have Nick go through the window, and he goes and opens the front door, and we walk in, and we're immediately hit with the sense that this doesn't feel like a place that you would rent to people. This feels like a house.
Somebody's home.
Someone lives here. And so I said, well, let's just look around. I still in my head, I'm thinking, this has to be it. So we start hunting around, and I see, like, people's coats hanging up. And, like, people's shoes in a pile and, like, lived-in sort of circumstances. And the carpet isn't exactly super clean, which it always is when you're renting a place like that.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is freaking. Kim says, well, wait, in the kitchen there's a note. That might be them leaving us a note. I said, okay, let's go look. And we pick up this note that says, hey, Daryl, thanks for the great time. Something, something, something. There's candy in this box, blah, blah, blah. Talk to you next, week or something. And I'm like, I am not Daryl, and no one I'm related to is named Daryl. We are freaking screwed. We are in someone's house.
out.
That's exactly what happened. So Kim's like, oh, my gosh, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. So we're like herding the kids out. No, you can't go poo here. We got to get out of this house.
Oh, man.
I got to go.
So we're funneling through the front door, getting them out of the house. I'm like, all right, lock the door. Did I touch anything? And I said, now, right as we're walking, I go, Kim, I think maybe just possibly this is really the place. Can I just use that phone in there? And call my sister.
That's where you always go wrong when you go back in.
I know. So
you
I went
never
in.
Never go back in.
Haven't you ever seen a movie or a TV show?
Ever?
I know, man. So I said, all right, I'm going to go use their phone. I'm going to call my sister, and I'm going to tell her what's going on, or say, what's the code? That'll be the thing to say.
Yeah.
Hey, Wendy, what's the code? And if she gives me the code and I go down and use it and it works, then we're safe, right? Well, I call her.
Then you're the same code.
Yeah, you're going to be complaining to the rental people. There were shoes and coats all over this place when we rented.
So I talk to her, or I call her, and she doesn't answer. So I leave her a voicemail. Oh. Hey, I think we're at the condo. We're not totally sure. Or the cabin. Give me a call back. And I hung up. Yeah. And then I went, I just made a long-distance phone call.
Nice.
Somebody else's phone. And they'll have a record of it, and they could call my sister's number. And for all I know, my sister's going to call me back because she probably has bad reception up here too.
Yeah.
And if she does get reception, she's going to call this freaking phone and say, I got a call off on this number from my dumb brother. Bear, bear. So I immediately put that down. I actually consider rubbing it for prints, like getting a little a rag. You know, I'm starting to remember the movies and the TV shows, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's what you do.
Yeah. So I put the phone back.
Like they're gonna spend all day dusting for prints, somebody breaking and not doing anything and placing one long distance phone call.
Well, that's exactly the point, and that's probably why I'm safe. But as I funneled everybody out of there, and we're huffing and puffing because it's so high up in the altitude anyway, we're like delirious.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, honey, we didn't try that other road that curves up. Let's just go try that real quick.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back here and wait, because maybe this still is, for some crazy reason, this is still the place. I mean, we still thought it might be. So we start to turn up, and as we do it, out of the corner of my eye, the back of the van, I look back up at where we just were, and I notice the window we had broken into is still open.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I go, oh, my freaking crap. And about that time, we turn this tiny corner, and there's my sister and my mom and my brother and all this stuff in their van, and everything's there, and they're all at the cabin. It was like another freaking 20 feet away.
That's too funny.
So we went back later, Kim and I, like totally clandestine freaking Mission Impossible, and we went and shut that window again. But
left a nice little note.
I almost did.
I'm super sorry.
I almost did, dude.
Left a buck for the long distance call.
And Wendy goes, where'd you call from? I'm like, it's a long, really long story. Please tell me you did not call back and leave him a voicemail. She says, well, I was about to.
Friend's house.
Anyway, that's my felony. I've never broken into anything before. And, I mean, obviously, we weren't trying to screw anybody over, but my gosh.
So if you live in Brian's head, and you think there's been a bear breaking into your place, no. It's the Johnsons.
An upright bear with opposable thumbs that can call phone numbers.
Are there even bears up that high?
That's
a high elevation,
Bear broke in and made long-distance calls.
And it made long-distance calls. How do they even do that?
Somebody in Utah.
The only thing that gave me hope is this woman, whoever lives there, everything was covered in... She's one of these freaks that has Christmas... like really ornate Christmas decorations and dolls and Santa collections and things all over the freaking house. That place is Christmas 24 hours a day. And all I can think of is maybe she's so nice and so freaky obsessed with Christmas that she'll never, ever pursue this.
That's funny.
Or say, honey, somebody's been in here.
So it gives you pause to think how many people have broken into your own home on accident.
I know.
Right.
The lesson here is lock all your windows, dude. Because I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have got in.
Yeah, you don't want an anxious Johnson outside your house.
No.
That's my new band.
anxious Johnson. That's awesome. All right, enough of that. Enough of my dumb story. Thank you all for indulging me. I had to kind of get it off my system.
That's a great story. No, it really shows the paranoia that goes through your head. I mean.
Oh, totally. I mean, just the kind of dumb behavior. Nice guy. You can see why criminals screw up and leave tons of evidence.
Yeah.
Because they're not, you don't think straight when you're in that stress, like crazy stress situation. Calling a long distance phone call, peeing on their side of their house. I mean, I'm just giving them DNA and I'm leaving them a trail to find me on the phone. And I've got fingerprints and, you know.
Yeah. Was you waiting on a knock on the door while he was at the other cabin? I mean, because it's only, 20 feet away?
Yeah. I kept going. Every time we go down there to go hiking or something, I'd kind of glance back and see, is anybody home?
Yeah, did you ever see anybody at that house?
Never did. So I think it is it's like a summer home, and they were probably just done with it and went back to the city.
And now some bum's going to crawl in there, and he's going to die, and they're going to really check for fingerprints.
Hobo. Well, they'll just hopefully they'll just think it's the hobo.
Yeah, well. Maybe after they see the phone calls, we'll see.
You were trying to steal Christmas, weren't you, Scott?
You'd think.
Yeah.
The worst part is, honestly, I think that the experience kind of ruined me on any kind of procedural films now. Like, I watched Seven again recently to see if I still hated it.
You hate that movie.
I know. It's a long story, but Seamus sent me a copy of Seven.
Did he really?
Yeah. It was kind of as a joke, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch it again and see if I hate it as much, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I saw it again, and all I could think of the whole time is, oh, you found the fat guy that's been puking all day and he got fed to death. But I wonder if he made a long-distance phone call before he left there and then catch him that way. You know, I couldn't watch CSI without thinking of that cabin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how freaked out we were. My wife was like, she's full of adrenaline.
So from this person's perspective, some stranger wandered up, pissed on the side of their house, broke in, made a long-distance call, and left.
Stumbled out. Drunk of the skunk.
Yeah.
I was wondering when you started that story, you kept saying, I ask him this, I ask him that. So you're really trying to rat Kim out on this and really making her a part of the whole thing. Yeah, yeah, you was totally, it wasn't just you.
Yeah, and we said in the car, Kim goes, we are not telling anyone about this. And I said,
here you are talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah, and Nicholas goes, why can't we talk about it, Mom? And, you know, because he wanted to tell all the cousins and get everybody excited about him going through a window and this big break-in. And
you're trying to pin it on him, aren't you?
Yeah, it's all Nick. Nicholas Johnson. You can find
him. He actually did the breaking and entering.
Sure, he went in the window.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was coerced by his father, but,
let's call a spade a spade.
Let's see how that holds up in court.
We're going to try him as an adult.
I've never understood that. Spade a spade. Are they talking about shells?
All spade a spade.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter. All right, well, enough about my dumb story, but thank you all for listening to that. And let's move on to what is really huge news. And I haven't played this theme in a while, so let's play this.
ELR News.
There you guys, waiting for Brian.
I love that one.
I wasn't going to say anything until you started doing that noise. It's been too long. All right, well, the big news is that we just finished Comic-Con. We didn't, but someone here with us did. And that is a big deal every year. We try to give some coverage to it, talk about what went on and maybe what some of the bigger things were and what some of the bigger news coming out of Comic-Con was. As it turns out, Tom Merritt here went. Now, you didn't go for long. You were there Friday through Sunday?
Yeah, I came in Friday evening, left Sunday afternoon. It was my first time, actually, and had a blast.
Good. Your Comic-Con virginity is no more.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the stuff you saw. Were you able to catch any of any panels that were of interest? Like, I know your wife tried to go to a lot of the vampire junk, right?
Oh, yeah. Eileen and Lynn, the hosts of Bite Club.
Bite Club, which is great, by the way. If you're into vampire crap, that show's great. Anyway, go ahead.
They got up at 6 in the morning on Saturday, and it was panel pursuit all day long for them. They went to the Lost panel. They went to the Fringe panel. They went to the True Blood panel. Now, they missed the Twilight panel, which was earlier in the week. They said the Lost panel was probably the best of the bunch.
I've heard that from a few people, that it was really amazing. Yeah.
They started with Damon and Carlton, the executive producer and writer of the show, out there, and those guys are pretty funny. If you ever listen to the official Lost podcast, they just have great chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and so they started by talking to folks, and then instead of just bringing folks on stage, they kind of had it set up as a skit. So you apparently Hurley, the guy who plays Hurley, was first in line when they went to the audience questions, and was Yeah, I can't get you guys to return my calls, so I figured this is the only way I could get a question to you.
Wow.
And then who played Ben came out and was like, Hurley, what are you doing? And then Josh Holloway came out, the guy who plays Sawyer, and was acting like Sawyer and doing some stuff on stage. So it was pretty fun. I don't know that they gave away a whole lot of revelations about the coming season. I think they did a lot of that to satisfy the fans, but keep them from having to give away too much.
So do you feel like it was an effort by them just sort of to be really entertaining and make up for the fact that they weren't going to leak a lot of things? Because I couldn't imagine the last season of Lost, the producers getting up there and going, all right, you guys, buckle your seatbelts because this is going to be the craziest season ever, and here are the five things we're going to pull on you. They're not going to do any of that. This is too big of a deal. But from all accounts, everybody I've heard from said, dude, that was the coolest panel ever. It was the most fun. It was the most entertaining. It was like seeing a movie. You walked out of there wishing you could go back and watch it again. I mean, what was it about that event, you think, that made people feel that way?
Yeah, I don't know. Not having saw it myself yet, I can't say for sure. But I feel like it was the fact that they did have the folks in character to a certain extent, and that was just a thrill. Because you're not just seeing, here's the guy up on stage wearing wearing some weird clothes because he doesn't look like that. And, they were acting like themselves, and they were kind of dressed like themselves. Actually, not themselves. They were dressed like the characters they play. And so that was fun because then they changed, right? They did their bit, and then they became regular people again. And that's always fun to see. I think that's why people go to Comic-Con, or at least to these panels, is to see the stars in real life, to see what they're like in real life.
Yeah.
Having seen it, they
really are jerks.
Yeah, they're all really jerks in real life. So were there any, it sounds like mostly secondary cast? Were there any major people there, like Jack and Kate and any of those people? They were no shows.
Well, Sawyer.
Sawyer's
pretty high up there, I guess.
Well, I mean, Jack and Kate and Sawyer, those are the three, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And Ben has actually become pretty huge now, too.
Yeah, he has a big role to play in that show these days. That's true. He's a freak.
And everybody loves Hurley. And I mean, the whole story is really about him being in the insane asylum anyway. So, I mean, it's all in his head. So
yeah, that's what you really think. Brian's prediction is the end of this series is him waking up in a hospital and having dreamt the whole thing.
Yeah.
They have promised on their podcast that it will not be like that. They have said specifically it will not be all a dream. It will not be all like an imaginary thing or an alternate reality, or, you know, it's not going to be a cop out. They're going to pull it together, which is why I'm convinced that it's not going to be they're not going to be able to change time. They're not going to be able, you know, not too many spoilers to people who may not have caught up, but they're not going to be able to undo everything. I don't think that can happen given what they've said.
Yeah.
Well, that and the way they ended it last season, it would ruin it if they undid everything, because then what would you do?
Exactly. What's the season going to be about? I'm fine now. I had my baby and I gave it up. I'm a lottery winner, so that's bad luck. Oh, well.
It just becomes a season of some regular show. You know, where people have lives and work. You know,
Do you know what?
Turns into Felicity.
That'd be terrible.
Do you know what made me... I haven't watched Lost in a while, and I really like to go back and catch up, and I really feel bad for not
seeing
it.
You need to, dude. It's awesome.
I really do. But I'll tell you, I stopped watching it because of one plot device, and that was the smoke monster. And until they freaking... Until they freaking come clean on what the crap that thing is and how it plays into the rest of the story, I don't want to hear nothing else from them.
Look,
they have all but done that in this previous season.
Yeah.
They've showed you where it lives. They've showed you who it's not and who is not in control of it. And they're like two minutes away from explaining where the heck it did come from. But they're saving that final revelation until the end of the last season.
Yeah, I got to think
I think that'll be it. I think that'll be a cliche in the future. Something like jump the shark, they'll talk about the smoke monster. I mean, it's really...
Well, Brian, I don't think you've seen... You haven't seen like 3 or 4 yet, like season 3.
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, I think
I was halfway through... For those who haven't seen season 3 or 4, when they killed Echo with the smoke monster, I was like, forget it. I'm done. I'm done.
Wait, what season was that? 2 or 3?
That's 2.
I think it was 3. Was it 2?
2.
I said that's it. I think it was halfway through 3. The next time they kill, so that's it.
You're just not into that smoke monster, eh?
Hey, man.
I'm like, no more.
You may not want to go back because more people are going to die.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Yeah. It's like a death.
Yeah, it's the whole, it's an analogy to tobacco.
It's worse than J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Yeah, she kills some important people, but she doesn't do it with a smoke monster, and that's Brian's problem.
Yeah, that's right.
And she doesn't introduce them to you and make you love them and then just kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's actually kind of why I like Lost, because even though I was upset too when that happened, but it's like, well, nothing is sacred. All bets are off. Everything I think, you know, like, oh, they'll never kill that person. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they will.
That show has always been able to tell me this. It would say, Scott, look, we're going to show you some things here in season 2 and 3 that you're going to go, what?
Yeah.
But we're going to pay that all off. We're going to give you more stuff in 4 and 5 and finally 6, where you're going to be like, ooh, okay, I'm really glad I stuck with this. So, Brian, I am commanding you now.
Okay.
You need to catch up.
I am definitely going to try to catch up.
Yeah, it's all on DVD. It's all on DVD now, so just Netflix the hell out of that, and you're good to go.
Yeah, all right. I'm queuing it up right now.
Okay, good.
I'm not even listening to you anymore. Good. Shut up. I'm queuing up.
So one of the interesting things I thought that came out of the con that I wanted Tom to ask if you saw any of this was anything to do with the Tron 2 or they're technically calling it Tron Legacy movie. It's been the talk everywhere. It's all anybody wants to talk about. It's all I really care about, to be honest. I'm really, really super duper excited about this.
Once again, I'm the most worthless person for you to have on to talk about. But God, me and Veronica got in line to go into the Flynn Arcade where they had all the Tron stuff. And then Eileen and Roger and a bunch of our friends came out and they're like, oh, it's not that great. You see the trailer and there's a bunch of arcade games and then they kick you out. You can't stay there.
Huh.
And so we're like, it's late.
Flynn's, though.
So we went and watched the trailer online instead of actually going in. And getting the T-shirt and all that.
All right.
Yeah, but apparently, even though it was Flynn's, like, it just wasn't that. I don't know. Roger and those guys all said, yeah, it's okay. So yeah. I heard other people contradicting that later and started to regret my decision when they were like, oh, no, that was awesome. It was like being in the movie, you know. And
I missed it.
I got to ride a light cycle and they put me in the movie. No, it was. I mean, but yeah, it was, apparently some people thought it was really cool. The trailer looks freaking awesome, doesn't it?
Wouldn't it piss you off if that movie came out and Roger was a bit part in it? Wouldn't that make you mad?
You jerk.
He was just downplaying it so he could get you on that. Yeah, that trailer has, I mean, I know it's essentially assembled footage or reused footage from some of the stuff that got leaked last year, but I don't care, dude. It looked incredible.
It was fun. It brought it to life.
It really brings the tone of that. This is what I want from a Tron 2. I also love the fact that we got Jeff Bridges walking around looking awesome. One of the coolest. One of these days we're gonna have a show about this, or at least a topic about it. But actors who look really cool when they're old, and I think Jeff Bridges is a total stud when he's old.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's turned out all right, huh?
Yeah,
I know it. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, not you know,
Patrick's come a long way.
Yeah,
yeah, Patrick Stewart. I've only known Patrick Stewart as being old. I can't think of anything I've seen him in when he was young.
Well, when he started Star Trek in his early 40s, right? Or mid 40s or something. So he's 80 almost. So he'd have been.
He's 80.
I think he's almost 80, and he looks amazing.
He's in his 70s, though. Yeah
somewhere in his 70s. Yeah. That's true.
How old is Edward James Olmos? Because, man, that guy looks like the nicest guy in the world. I saw him in person. I didn't go talk to him or anything, but he was at the signing booth at Comic-Con.
That's cool.
My first impression was just like, that just looks like a nice dad. Like, I just want to go have a burger with that guy and chat, you know? Like, just some stars, you see them in person, they're kind of shifty and nervous. Look a little weird because you're like, wait a minute, you're actually only 4 feet tall. The camera really makes you look whatever. But he just looked like a normal guy. I was totally hit with that when I saw him.
Well, he is born in 47. That makes him how old? Wikipedia would tell me. I don't like the math.
I'll tell you who's cool also is Kevin Sorbo.
What is he?
Kevin Sorbo
62,
is like the nicest guy.
62.
He looks great for 62. But he also looks terrible for 62. I mean, he's got that face of like, I mean, that's what we love about him. But he's somebody I would love to meet one day. But did you have any other sightings like this? Like any other?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The guy who plays Baltar.
Oh, yeah.
Callus,
is that his name? Is it James? I know it's Callus.
James Callus, that's it, yeah.
So he was there signing as well, and my friend Roger, who I do East Meets West with, was like, oh, I don't know, should I get Olmos autograph? Should I get Callus autograph? I don't know. He starts to walk away. I'm like, Roger, you obviously want to do this. Go do it. Go get somebody's autograph. So he looks at it, and Olmos has got a like big crowd of like 3 or 4 people around his signing table, so he's like, I'll just get Callus. So he goes over there, and he walks up, and he pays the money, gets the autograph, and he's like, well, who should I make this out to? And
he's got the greatest accent.
Roger's like, make it out to Techzilla, because that's the show Roger produces for Revision 3. Yeah. He's like, Techzilla, how do you spell that? T-E-K-Z-I. Okay. What is Techzilla? And Roger says, it's an organization. And Callus says, organization. Right, and just starts writing it down like, I've seen Stranger Things at Comic-Con. And I'm like, Roger, why'd you say it? Why didn't you say it was a show? He's like, I thought it sounded snooty to say it was a show, and then I would have had to explain. And
that's funny. I was like, oh, you mean on the internet?
He might have watched it. If an organization, it probably sounded like, oh, it's Roger and his two friends' club. All right, whatever.
Is he as short as I figure he is? Because he looks like he might be short.
Well, he was sitting down, so I didn't really get a sense of it. The other interesting signing going on, I can't remember the booth they were at, but they had Leonard Nimoy and Brent Spiner.
Whoa.
Together. Yeah.
Together.
That was a dry table.
It's actually pretty packed.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, who's over there? I was like, I don't know, the guy from Independence Day and the guy from Fringe.
The guy from In Search Of.
Search Of.
Or that really, wasn't he in a bad version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers? I may have that wrong.
Was he?
I'm not sure. I may be thinking of Kiefer Sutherland's dad, Donald.
All I know is whenever you mention In Search Of, all I can ever remember is that one episode where they did the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch. And for some reason, that episode just really creeped me out.
Everything about that show creeped me out when I was a kid.
That episode always reminds me of the Jonathan Coulton song, In the Pines.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, yes, yes.
But there, dude, when I was a kid, I know this is off topic, but you guys drove me here. The old video that's been proven wrong, you know, fake and all this stuff.
Oh,
the
yeah,
video
yeah,
of him
yeah.
turning and walking through yeah. the woods and over those trees and this, and kept looking back in that grainy footage. That yeah. thing haunted me till I was 20. I would yeah. dream about that. I would think about it. Yeah. Every time I saw it, I'd go, ugh, I'd get like chills. I still yeah. get that way when I see it. I know it's fake. I know they've proved it fake, but it's just like, dude.
It's not fake in my head.
I hate that kind of stuff. No. Hate it.
That's as real as dinosaurs, baby.
I'm telling you, the worst thing ever was this movie I saw in 1970. Or I didn't see it. This I saw it in the 80s sometime, but it was made yeah. in like 76 or something. And it was Elliot Gould in some movie where he was fighting with some girl in the middle of it. I don't know the name of this thing or anything about it, but I just yeah. remember it was Elliot Gould fighting some chick, and he ends up smashing her head through a... This is terrible. Smashing her head through an aquarium full of fish, and then just ground her head off with the glass shards that were in the face, and left this head floating in there for the FBI to find. And I remember somehow I went to a friend's house, sleepovers. You know, sleepovers are never good, dude. Nothing good happens at a sleepover.
Oh, yeah.
That's when people show you their wieners. That's when the freaking some movie scars you for life, whatever.
Dude, I'm glad I never come over to your house.
There's always Jeez. Something bad.
Sleepers did you go to? Jeez.
Yeah.
Great sex.
I never quite got over that. Like that just it just really gave me the creep.
I didn't have friends as a kid.
I don't know if that wiener part's true, but it just seems like
yeah.
there was
yeah.
always it like somebody like... would always run through the backyard naked, or somebody would like
oh yeah.
like you know, somebody would moon you or fart in the sleeping bag and then close you in.
Was it MASH that you're thinking of?
No, not MASH. Not the movie MASH. It was something else.
Grind up anyone's head and MASH.
I thought that's
he
what
that
was about.
Back on. He was a doctor.
I think it's.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I thought it was the movie MASH. Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember. It's old. It's like 70 something.
He don't have too many 70s movies. So I mean, it's got to either be. It's going to have to either be. Move. I Love My Wife, which I don't know. That might be what you watch. Little Murderers. Does that sound?
I think
like
that may be it. Little Murderers. Somebody told me before that was probably it.
Yeah.
Not 100% on that though. But yeah. somebody got their head cut off.
Directed by Alan Arkin. Very cool.
Oh, yeah. Good hell. All right. Anyway, there's that.
Well, I did get to one panel. It was actually the whole reason I went down there is that Eileen, Roger had an extra pass, so Eileen was going to use it for one day, and I was going to use it for the other. And the other day was the Doctor Who panel.
Mm.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
So how'd that go?
So they had, I always get her name wrong, I want to say Julie Gardner, the executive producer of Doctor Who, Russell T. Davies, who is an executive producer and head writer, he's kind of the guy in charge of it. David Tennant was there, Doctor Who himself, and Euro Davis, he's the director of many of the episodes and directed the entire Torchwood Children of Earth series that just aired on BBC.
Which is supposed to be awesome. I haven't seen it
I just finished watching it yesterday, actually.
How was it?
I've watched some of it. What's up with all the new sci-fi shows having to have at least one gay couple? I don't understand it.
Well, that's Torchwood. Torchwood's been like that since before it was Torchwood. I mean, that's Captain
Jack.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
They're just carrying on something. They blazed that trail, Brian.
Oh, totally.
That's
yeah.
True.
They
that
they brought in the CSI slash... there's something, you know, I Want to Believe. What's that show called? Freaking Duchovny. What am I thinking of here? Hey, guys. Scott Johnson here. Bumping in real quick to talk about... sorry for the abrupt interruption. Here to talk about Audible.com and some of the stuff I think is interesting on Audible this week. As you know, I'm a huge fan of audiobooks. I think it's actually the best way to consume written content these days in this bustling world we live in. I mean, there's still something to be said for sitting down and reading something out of a book, but there's so much going on all the time. It's a great way to sort of catch up on things and listen in your car and listen while you run and kind of kill two birds with one stone. And I just love the way some of the narrators go. There's a new book out now on Audible.com from E.E. Knight called Winter Duty. And I've heard this is really, really interesting science fiction. I haven't listened to it yet, but it's definitely going to be my pick of the week and one I'm going to try. You might want to, too. And you can do that for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/extralife. And you can get that or any other book in their library for free. So check them out if you haven't already. That's audible.com. Thanks, Audible.
X-Files.
X-Files. They got the whole X-Files thing going with, all right, now we're going to add a lot of sort of, we're going to break all the gender lines, and that show's sort of famous for it. But I haven't seen that new thing, and I heard that's really, really good.
I think there are a couple of weak plot points near the end for me where I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why did they do that?
When the smoke monster showed up, I just turned it off.
And that guy who played Mr. Echo was a character and he got killed by it. It's a really annoying.
Terrible. So can you tell me this about that show? Do you feel like it's like a Britishism? Like, sometimes when I feel like some of that stuff falls apart, it's because there's a weird British sensibility when it comes to supernatural storytelling.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but that's not what it is for me in this one. In this one, it's sort of, there's a critical moment where Captain Jack sort of admits that he's beaten. And you're like, really? That's all it took? I mean, that was a lot, but really? Like, the doctor would have never given up.
No.
It was sort of this, like, I understand where they were going with the, heart-wrenching story and everything, but I didn't quite buy it. That he gave up right when he did. But overall, I thought the premise of the story arc was fantastic. And there's some good directing and storytelling in it.
Was there a little bit of did it feel a little like Children of the Corn kind of? Is that kind of thing? You know what I mean? Like little kids all rising up and getting glowy eyes and beating everybody?
No.
It reminded me more of you remember the 80s the 80s version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that kind of creepiness.
Oh, so you saw that? You've seen this then, Brian?
Yeah. I've seen everything except for the last episode.
Oh, well, look at me. I'm way behind, dude.
Yeah, seriously, man.
Slacker.
I order you to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
All right, Brian, Lost, me, Torchwood, Tom. Yeah, I'll have
some. Oh, it sounds like it's a little bit of time for some geek pressure to me. We haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't. Pressure officially applied.
Exactly. Getting back to the Doctor Who panel.
Oh, yeah. So how'd this go? What did you learn from that?
So this is the team that's all saying goodbye. They're all, Euro Davis might direct some episodes perhaps in the future, but Russell T. Davies is pulled off, Gardner's pulled off, David Tennant's leaving, giving it over to a new doctor. So I think most panels are more forward-looking than this one. This one's very
nostalgic.
Oh, it was so fun doing these shows, and this is what we're going to miss, and this was our favorite parts. They did show a teaser trailer for the last two episodes that are coming in this year. There's one in November and I guess one in December or January. And that last one is the very last episode with David Tennant in it. So, they did that one thing where there was an episode that aired last weekend, which I had already seen somehow, but it just aired in America for the first time. It had aired in Easter in the UK.
Yeah.
And they showed a trailer for that, and everybody's just kind of shifty and looking at each other like, oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't seen that yet. And and then they announced that in the future, all of the airings of Doctor Who will be very close to the airings in the UK. They may not be exactly the same day, but they're going to keep...
That's great.
It's like, thank goodness.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you, actually, because right now they're like, it's like a 3 or 4 month delay and sometimes longer, and it sounds like they're going to tighten that up. That's good.
Yeah, and they're all going to be on BBC America instead of Sci-Fi Network, which is kind of sad because I don't get BBC America in high def, and I do get Sci-Fi in high def. But
that's true.
The world will eventually come around to that, I'm guessing.
Sure.
But they showed The Waters of Mars, which looks like a really great sort of we're locked in a tight place and the creatures are coming at us sort of episode. Pretty classic. Looked really fun. And then they showed little clips of the final episode. And it'll be the episode where David Tennant's character dies and regenerates as Matt Smith's version of the Doctor. So you kind of know how it ends, but you don't know what the premise is going to be. And really the only thing they showed, other than sort of a lot of gasping and oh no and what's happening, is the return of the Master.
Cool. Wow, they were leaking all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Like a sip.
It's funny that you should say that about leaking all that crap.
Brian's got what? You got a little leakage?
No. I'm just thinking it's kind of odd that I don't know if it's odd or not, but it just seems like they're giving more and more away on all these movies because they're having to sell the movie so completely and these TV shows so completely before they come out that there's nothing left. I mean, it's been increasing over the years where it seems like trailers have you know, come to the point they're almost telling the complete story in a very abbreviated way. And then when you get to the theater, it's like, okay, well, I kind of know what's going on here. But with Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar, he's talking about running like a 15-minute thing at the 3D, at the different 3D houses before too much longer. So, I mean, is that too much?
I don't know. I mean, these, don't you feel like that? Aren't these Comic-Con things, or maybe Tom can speak to this, but didn't it feel like this is like, these are for the hardcore, going to get it no matter how they get it, and may as well capitalize on it kind of thing?
And there's two ways of doing these leaks. And the first way is the way Doctor Who did it, where it was a trailer and it was little snippets. So you're like, you just don't get any idea what's actually going to happen in that episode, but you get enough little tastes of what it's going to look like that you're just dying for more. The other way of doing it is to do like a 15-minute, like here we're going to throw at you a big chunk of the movie and watch and people just eat it up. But because it's continuous, you're not getting the storyline.
That's true.
You know? You're just getting a chunk, and that's going to leave you wanting to know, well, where does it go from there? How did it get there? What happens next? Yeah. It's like having a sample chapter for the next book in a series at the end of one series, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think those are both good ways to do this. What the problem is when they do a trailer, and the trailer tells the whole movie, for you know, and it includes all the major plot points and pretty much points towards the ending, and they're like, oh, good, don't see that one now. That usually happens to me with romantic comics.
Yeah. That's how I feel about all those. So somebody in the chat room says, don't forget to mention that Timothy Dalton will be guesting in the last two episodes. That's kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That was a big hit with the fans, too. Everybody started to clap. So I can't wait for those last two episodes of Doctor Who. I'm a huge fan of David Tennant, and I am not looking forward to him leaving. I am very nervous about the next guy. He doesn't really look like Doctor Who to me. He's going to be wearing a bow tie. I'm like, oh, dude, I like the style of Tennant. David Tennant himself in this panel actually pointed something out that is very important to keep in mind if you're a Who fan, which is when Christopher Eccleston did the Doctor Who role, when they brought it back, nobody thought that anyone else could do it. They're like, what? He did it for a year. You might as well just kill the show. Like, if he's not going to come back, you're going to bring in somebody else. Like, this is amazing. And David Tennant is like, even myself, I thought, oh, you know, how am I going to fill these shoes? And he did. And people got used to him. And Tennant actually told the story in relation to Tom Baker leaving, because when he was a kid, that was the Doctor Who he first got into, and he was so upset, and Tom Baker left, and he was like, oh my gosh, who could fill his shoes? And I think it was Peter Davison came next, and all of a sudden he's like, this guy's amazing. I love him. I love everything he does. And that became his Doctor. So you can transition to the new Doctors, I know, but gosh, sometimes when they're so good, you're like, how can anybody do this?
You know, it's been bugging me where I'd seen that guy before when I'd seen him on Doctor Who, and I'm like, I know this guy. And somebody in the chat room finally revealed it to me, and now I remember he was Barty Crouch Jr. in Harry Potter 4. And so that's the guy. If you don't know who we're talking about, that's the guy.
He that's right. He was also in, it was a big old fantasy movie. And it's the name is escaping me now. I'm going to have to IMDb it. But he's...
How new? How old?
Like a couple... 3 years before he started doing Doctor Who. So what is that like?
I know what you're talking about. Now it's going to bug me. Chat room.
Not if you check the chat room. The chat room always knows.
Chat room will know. So chat room, let us know. We're waiting for your answer. Thank you very much.
I love that when you pull up David Tennant in IMDb, it says David Tennant, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Really?
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 But don't you want Doctor Who to stay awesome? Like, you want it to stay so good that it still remains a little subversive. It doesn't ever quite crack open the major mainstream. You want it to be this little gem that'll always sort of be there and be, you know, this perennial thing you can count on, right?
Yeah. That's how we feel in the United States. But in Britain, it's huge. I mean, it is a national treasure. It's like Star Trek. Times two, times three, maybe. It's not times 10. I think that'd be taking it too far. But that was one thing they kept saying in this panel was, please tell your friends, we're getting momentum. We're so impressed that we have 6,000 of you here at this panel to watch us. We're totally blown away. I thought we weren't well known in America, and we're so impressed. You know, keep spreading the word. So they want it to break out.
Yeah.
And people were clapping about that. People want other fans on board. This really annoying person sitting behind me kept going, that's 'cause of the Midwest. Every time they brought up the, like, we're not known, it's only unknown in the Midwest. I wanted to turn around and go, I'm from Illinois.
You should have, dude.
Why does she have such hate for the Midwest, I wonder?
I don't know. And she didn't even, she would go, Middle America. It's Middle America.
Middle America, hate them. I hate them.
Yeah. Hate them.
I hate, yeah, I hate that. I hate her.
I need a shirt that says that. I hate Middle America.
I hate that. I hate people like that.
9.5 minutes? Is that the movie I'm thinking of?
9.5 weeks? What?
9.5 minutes.
He played.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's in that as Charlie.
Yep, you're right. All right. I remember that now.
Well, I still hate the Midwest, whatever.
That movie was huge in the Midwest.
Yeah, the Midwest loved that movie. That was big stuff.
It was also in Gerald Coalthirst in the last September.
Wow. That's a hell of a thing. Who knew about that?
I'm not looking that one up. But you just know that. Off the top of my
head. He was in the British miniseries. Miniseries. He Knew He Was Right, starring him as Mr. Gibson. Very nice.
Mr. Gibson.
And then he was Dr. Krull in Spine Chillers. That sounds awesome. He has got quite
a Chatterley Affair.
What's funny is he's not much younger than you and I.
Yeah, I know. He's actually 2 years younger than you.
But he looks incredibly young. You know? Like these pictures from Comic-Con, he looks like he's about 15.
Yeah, he's a short guy.
Yeah, weird.
Would you say, Tom, that this year's Comic-Con was the best ever since it was your first?
Yes, it is the best Comic-Con I have ever been to. Yeah.
Did you? I mean, you were with people who had been to it before, including Veronica and others. Did they indicate whether this year seemed to be better or worse or more crowded or less crowded? Or what was the overall take?
Yeah, the overall, like the veterans' perspective seems to be, oh, it's getting crazy. It's getting bigger every year. Yeah, and the Hollywood people pushing out all the little guys. But I was actually really impressed at how many comic vendors are, in fact, still there.
Yeah.
It seems like they've stuck to their roots and they've kept a pretty good hold on that.
Listening to the veterans complain, I expect to see only Hollywood, you know, and maybe some like big stores or something. But there were a lot of small vendors there, just hawking classic comics and a lot of illustrators there with their art, folks that make toys, a ton of cool little toy shops, October Toys. Was one that was there, and I met Aileen, who does the Toy Break podcast. They had some great toys at their booth. So it was a really fun feeling. Now, I know in the middle is where you see the, like, you know, Paramount Network and the WB and all that stuff, and it gets a little bit more Hollywood right there in the middle. But it's still, overall, a very fan-oriented show. And Roger was explaining to me, he's like, that's because it's still run by fans. It's a nonprofit organization, and it's fans of comics who run it. Trying to balance, you want to see the stars and you want to see the panels. We got to let these Hollywood folks in, you know, to make that happen. But we don't want to drive out all the little vendors.
That's an interesting balance for them to strike. And it seems like, from what I hear, they strike it pretty well. They seem to hit it pretty well.
And I should point out that Dennis gave me a signed print at the Buzz Out Loud meetup at Comic-Con. He's in the chat room right now. He took me to task on Twitter for not mentioning it on Buzz Out Loud, so I'm mentioning it here.
Oh, good.
Much more venue.
Yeah.
Dennis rocks. You are famous. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so here you go, buddy. You got your name mentioned on a show that gets like a third of the listenership.
Dennis has fans of his own. There were people at the Buzz Out Loud meeting going, you're Dennis Calero, the artist? Oh, cool.
Very good.
No, I know his work. He is good. He's dang good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, Dennis. So we should have Dennis on.
Yeah,
you should.
We should have him on.
So, Tom, did you have any, like, celebrity run-ins by accident? You know, like, you're walking to the bathroom, you actually run into Kevin Sorbo or something?
I didn't have my Paul Rudd moment like I had at South by Southwest, where I, like, got in the elevator at the hotel, and then Paul Rudd comes up, and it's like, oh, can you hold that? I'm coming up.
Really? Yeah. That happened with Paul Rudd? And that's happened a couple of times now.
Well, that was... The one time.
Oh, right. I thought it happened. I could have sworn there was like two times that Paul Rudd was like in an elevator with you or something.
No, there's one time in an elevator. He was also at the barbecue place, but I didn't actually see him. Everybody else did.
Oh, I have a great story about this. Okay, so just real brief. When I was doing radio every weekend at this local AM station, the computer help thing in the 90s, he's not famous by any national sense, but there was this weatherman, or not weatherman, reporter guy that they called the science, let's see. How did it go? The science...
Bill Nye, the science guy?
Science specialist. His name's Ed Yates, but they call him Science Specialist Ed Yates. And he's nice. A big deal around here. He does all the science coverage and shows up at all the big stuff going on at the U of U and all this other stuff. So he's always on TV. So he's a big local kind of news guy. Well, I was going over there to do the show one day, and I get in. He has me hold the elevator. He gets in, doesn't say a word to me, moves over into the corner. He's in a big brown overcoat. And about halfway up, as I'm thinking, should I say something? Should I say hi to this guy? I hear this. And I go, I didn't
even
know what to
science
think.
Guys, hey, even science guys understand you can't keep all that in. You know,
well, I wanted to ask, dude, like, I'm one of your viewing public. Could you tell me the science behind what just happened in this elevator?
Yeah.
Anyway.
What do you think the chances are the dissipation of that will reach over to me by the time we get off the elevator?
Good times. Say what? Oh, Tom, yes.
Tom,
go ahead.
I'm going to say something.
Brian cut you off like a big old truck.
I'm sorry.
Ran you right off the road. Either.
What, I don't know. What was I saying?
I don't know. Something good. Something awesome.
It was funny.
Last thing I said was, it all starts with beans.
Oh, yeah, that was it. You were going to speak to the actual science, which is great.
I really didn't need repeating.
All right. I got some questions for you regarding whether or not at the con you were able to... Do they have much in the way of video games? You see a lot of... I know there's always a little something there, but did you guys get a chance to play anything, see anything?
I'm useless on this one. I know there were some video games there, but I did not encounter them in my sojourns. I went on the show floor a tiny bit on Friday night. Then we went to a True Blood party that HBO was putting on.
Nice.
And I got a True Blood pint glass and some plastic fangs. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the next day I spent on the floor searching for different things. Veronica wanted to find a dragon t-shirt, and Roger was looking for Edward James Olmos, and you know, so I was kind of following people around and just looking at all the sites. The coolest thing I actually saw, and this is just cool for me and probably no one else in the world, was one guy who had comics was also selling memorabilia, and he had a 1962-63 St. Louis Globe Democrat TV guide with picture of the witch. Oh, what's her name?
Bewitched?
Yeah, Bewitched on the cover. Yeah.
What's her name?
For $100.
Oh, my gosh. Did you buy it?
$100.
Did you pick it up?
No. I was looking at it, and I couldn't see the price. I was like, oh, I totally want that. I grew up with the Globe Democrat. That was my grandparents' paper. This is so cool. The Bewitched thing was kind of cool, but I wanted it for the, like,
Elizabeth Montgomery, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Brian.
Yes, Elizabeth Montgomery.
The only thing cooler about that, Tom, is if that would have been a picture of Dick York and Dick Sargent shaking hands.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
I would like that. Then I saw the price, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to buy
it. Yeah, no doubt.
20, maybe. 25, maybe.
Funny that... I've never really been to the West Coast. I am a East Coast kind of dude. And I recently watched a documentary on Netflix about the superheroes that kind of troll that area.
The Superman one, the big goofy looking. I saw that. What's it called?
Yeah.
Confessions of a Superhero or something like that.
That's right. Yeah, the thing is, Confessions of a Superhero. It's on Netflix streaming. And I remember seeing the girl who played Wonder Woman, and this video is probably a good 4 or 5 years old, but I had a friend of mine who has sent me a bunch of pictures from Comic-Con, and she was still there playing Wonder Woman, so was interesting to see, yeah.
Yeah, the costumes are incredible.
Well, that was my next question. Can you just speak to any of the weirdness? Like, I know there's a lot of cosplay and crazy dressed-up freak shows and stuff, and I know some of them are really amazing and sort of impressive, but... Was there anything that sort of stood out as like, oh my gosh, what the crap?
Yeah, well, the first thing I noticed is that I'd say maybe 20-30% of the people are in costume, which is actually less than somehow in my mind I was imagining. I thought it would be like everyone but me. It's a thing you do, and it's totally acceptable. Everybody loves it, but there's also families and kids and strollers and old people and young people.
See, that's not right.
Yeah. Really. Really diverse. It's not just about like the comic book, you know, stereotype. So I kind of want to preface it with that. But I really like that. I like that it was very kind of wide open. But there were some people with some amazing costumes. There was a Silk Spectre. the original Silk Spectre.
Hubba
that
hubba.
Was just yeah. amazing. Not just because she was good looking, but she yeah. was. But also just really well done costume on top of it. You know, literally. And so people.
So you went up and touched it and got all close and stuff.
I held back. Roger went and took pictures. A lot of that girl could not move more than 2 inches. Can I take a picture?
That's funny.
And people, it's kind of this protocol. Like you ask and they say yes. Like no, I never saw anybody say no. I am dressed up like a superhero, but you may not take my picture.
There's a pretty, there's a pretty good.
Like this to be, it turned into a staring contest.
Indeed. I mean, the chances are, if you're showing up there with a costume on, there's a really good chance that you actually want that attention. It seems like. I mean, I don't know anybody who's like, man, I hope nobody talks to me while I'm in my Princess Leia freaking gold bikini.
Yeah, right.
I hate when people talk to me.
Any Princess Leias there?
Wow.
I'm sure
really?
They did not see any.
That seems almost impossible. That is always a staple.
Yeah,
that Darth Vader's. Yeah,
my favorite are the big, like 600 pounders that could show up in.
I did see a Darth Vader who was probably about 5'10", so it kind of ruined the. Darth Vader's 7 feet tall, dude.
Yeah, at least.
There were some really good steampunk folks dressed up. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of robots. There was one guy who had I don't know the character. I'm blanking on the character, but it's like. Blue head, shaved head, inside of a glass dome with sort of a robotic astronaut-y type
suit. Mr. Freeze? Like the old Batman Mr. Freeze? It might have been.
It might have been Mr. Freeze, but it just looked good. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
well done. And then you see others that were like kind of a good attempt, you know, some rough edges. And then there's like, I call them the sad elves. And... those are the ones I saw first thing when I went over there to get my badge on Friday. And it's the guy who, you know, he put on sort of a canvas shirt and he's carrying a sword and he looks beat up because it's the end of the day and he's wearing jeans.
Oh, man.
That's great.
I love this dude.
You know, he got a paper crown from one of the booths and he threw it on. Cause like,
they just got back from Burger King. They got the kids' meal with the paper crown.
My
awesome.
Favorite are the guys, and somebody sent me a video of one of these guys, but the guys that just show up there with no shirt on. Like, that's their whole get-up, is that they just took their shirt off and stuffed it into a swag bag.
It's so funny. I've been going to Dragon Con for years, and the first couple of years I went, there was never anybody except just major nerd geeks, and so you never really seen anybody without a shirt on. But The last one I went to, they were like professional models who were coming there just to show off, I guess. You know, these huge buff dudes and these women who wearing practically nothing. And they weren't with a company or anything. They were just there.
They were just doing it.
Just being shirtless, I guess, to make us all feel bad. But
well, that'll be interesting to get, because Tom, when you go to Dragon Con, that'll be your first time there as well, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So you'll be able to like... kind of make this comparison, because what I've been told is the Dragon Con is where the real crazies,
all the real
nerds come
out there.
Now.
Yeah, it is probably closer to 40% of people dress up there.
Dennis pointed out in the chat room to Dr. Girlfriend and the Monarch, another
nice
couple that just had it down, had it right, just really, really well done.
Wow.
So you're saying it's more like that at Dragon Con, where they like really get it right, or it's just like whacked out?
I don't know if, you know, it's the same, probably the same percentage of people who are, a few get it right, and a, you know, majority of them, you go like, dude, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's mostly an excuse for...
What's the deal with the free hugs?
The free hugs? That's, I don't know. I'm not into free hugs.
Creepy.
I charge at least $1.50.
Creepy.
There were more than one person with cardboard cutout with armholes that they'd read free hugs on, and they walk around.
Yeah, that's the thing. People do that. I don't know. Maybe they need some attention. That's the way they can get it. Maybe they really need the free hugs. Who knows?
There's some medical condition.
Maybe there's some kind of alien, and that's, you know, how they reproduce. I don't know what it is, but you know,
they have the free hugs. The first time I saw it, it was like, oh, somebody, you know, just wants free hugs, and then cardboard is, you know, it was sort of a. Not a lame attempt, but, you know, obviously didn't put a lot of work into it, but whatever.
Well, if you're going to say lame, you
got
to say it right.
So then I got the idea that this is like a meme where it's like, no, you have to do it with the cardboard and the scratchy, you know, and everything.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
You didn't see the free hug booth for the, you know, the handouts and stuff? I guess not.
No. Maybe that's my problem. Yeah. I didn't get any.
You missed the booth. Okay, before we roll on out of here, this isn't completely, totally unrelated, but it's a little unrelated. So I just wanted to get quick impressions. What do you guys think about Sam Raimi being tagged as the director for the World of Warcraft movie, or the Warcraft movie they're calling it, whatever they end up calling it? I've gone on the record on the instance saying I think it's actually probably a good thing, and that Sam, if Sam has a lot of sort of creative help from Blizzard, but also is able to sort of let his skills shine, he should do just fine. This isn't a situation where you got Hollywood breathing down his neck saying you got to have Venom and Sandman together because we can't not enough people know who Sandman is, and then have him cram it in there and make a crappy Spider-Man 3 movie. So so Tom, I'll start with you. What do you think about, are you a fan of Sam Raimi, and if so, do you think he's a good pick for your current gaming addiction to be made into a film?
Huge fan of Sam Raimi. Evil Dead era. Everybody talks about Army of Darkness, and I'm just like, that was the third and not the best. I can't decide if I like Evil Dead 1 or 2 better, but huge fan of Raimi.
Think about his stuff he does recently, like Drag Me to Hell and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Drag Me to Hell. It's a lark, you know.
Yeah.
I love the movie for the family.
That's so funny. Yeah.
I thought it was very entertaining. I thought he did a good job with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He did Spider-Man 1, right?
No? Yeah, he did 1 and 2.
He did a good job with Spider-Man 1, but I was not as impressed with 2 and 3. That's why I forgot that he did 1.
Yeah. I like 2 better than any of them, but that's just me.
Did you really?
Okay. Yeah, I did. I thought the first one was a little clunky and had terrible CGI, and I don't know. There was something about it that just felt off to me. There's something in the story. Can't really put my finger on it, but...
But I'll tell you what. I don't have a problem with Sam Raimi. I think it's a good choice for a lot of the reasons that you said, Scott.
Yeah.
But I think the thing hinges on the story and who's going to write the story, who's going to come up with the story, because there is great story potential in Warcraft, and then hideous story potential in Warcraft.
That's why I've argued that you kind of have to go with the core, you know. You have to kind of go with the whole Arthas thing, the whole Fall from Grace, the whole Warcraft 3 storyline that eventually evolves into what we're playing now, because that stuff is universal. It makes sense. You can be very dramatic with it. You could do a great story, you know, servicing of it. It seems like if they want to go too nuts and do something for like current time in World of Warcraft, you're going to have a problem because you're just doing a rip-off Sauron story. And if you do something too early in the game's progress, there really wasn't a lot of story there. So I don't know. I'm up in the air. They have great potential just to tell a great story from scratch if they really want to, but you know, I don't know.
Warcraft, Rise of the Murlocs.
Dude, that's the one we're waiting for.
Yeah, that's exactly the one.
What do you think,
see.
Brian? You think we're in for something good?
I'm going to say this before I say anything else. I think it's a slap in the face to those great cinematographers and those great animators over at Blizzard for not giving them the chance and opportunity to make a World of Warcraft movie.
Well, they could have, of course, because Blizzard's putting all this money behind it. So if they really wanted to, Blizzard could have totally done that. But for whatever reason, they don't want to go.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I think they should have used the talent they had to do that. But Sam Raimi, I think he's a great director, and I don't think he has to be. He's a very versatile director. He doesn't have to be all Sam Raimi. I mean, if you let him go, he'll do his thing, but he's also a good director that if they say, we want this, this, and this as producers, and he'll do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, he'll deliver.
Simple Plan, dude. Great movie. I don't know if anyone's seen that. A Simple Plan's good movie. Good Sam Raimi movie. And it's not typical Sam Raimi. It's not the kind of thing you'd even know it was him.
Nope.
Just like,
do you think the movie is going to be called Cataclysm?
No. Although... Oh, maybe Tom's on to something. Yep. I hadn't even considered that. I mean, if they've gone and registered all those names, maybe that's what this is for.
Yep.
It could be.
Could be.
Smartest guy.
They said it's going to be based on the Warcraft, not the World of Warcraft, but the Warcraft series of games, right?
Yeah, Warcraft universe, technically. So that includes WoW. So it's potential that, you know, you could, some of the storylines in WoW could show up there. But honestly, the feel... And the love I have for the milieu of Warcraft comes from the cinematic intros in WoW. Like, I still watch them. I say this on the instance all the time. I watch them, like, every couple of weeks. I'll watch the first one, then the second one, then the third one, and I can never get enough of it, and I can't wait for whatever the fourth one is. Hopefully they show it at Dragon Con. BlizzCon, rather. I love those animated intros, and And I want a movie to feel like that for 2.5 hours. That's
yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
I don't know if we'll get it, but that's what I want. You heard me, Blizzard.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
You heard
command
me.
You, Blizzard.
Yeah. You and Sam Raimi, get on it. And Dark Man was a good movie, too. Okay, moving on. Lastly, I'm just going to mention this, and I'm not going to get into detail because I haven't had enough time with it, but I downloaded today Fat Princess on the PSN for the PS3. And so far, I've had limited time with it, but and it's been talked about for a long time. Very highly anticipated downloadable game, exclusive on the PS3. They've been talking about it for a couple of years. I remember the first time.
That's kind of offensive.
Oh, it totally is. If you're a fat princess, you'd hate this game.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously fun so far. I I'll save a full review for a future show. Yeah. Veronica is the one that told me about a year ago that she'd had a chance to play a fairly finished build and said, "You guys, I have no idea how great this is going to be."
Nice.
And I said, "We'll see when we get it." So far, awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, Brian.
Speaking of, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No,
what
go
you're
ahead.
Saying.
What
are you done?
Okay. No, I'm good.
Oh, I was just going to say. Speaking of Fat Princess, what about that Alice in Wonderland trailer from Tim Burton?
Wonderslam.
Wonderland.
I'm going to say I love Tim Burton, and I'll see this movie no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm having a little bit of a Chocolate Factory vibe.
Yeah.
And that is not to say I hated that movie. I didn't hate Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I just didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe my anticipation was weird. Maybe I had too many expectations given that first one was so important when I was a kid. And Gene Wilder, to me, was like the man. I don't know what the deal was, why I got left in the lurch there. But for whatever reason, that movie kind of left me a little sad. I kind of get that vibe with this, and I don't know what that's based on. It's only a minute and a half long or whatever, but I don't know. We'll see.
It seems more creepy than scary. The books, Wizard of Oz books and Alice in Wonderland books. Wizard of Oz, what am I talking about? Alice in Wonderland, which is also creepy.
Yeah.
But, that and the Charlie and Chocolate Factory, they seem to be very dark books. And it seems like both the ones that Tim Burton has done has been kind of just creepy to me. More like, you know, and thanks to Johnny Depp's wonderful performance.
Yeah.
And I think he's trying to see how ugly he can be.
Yeah, that's ugly, it's possible. Because he's the Mad Hatter in this, right?
Yeah. He looks scary.
By the way, Pee-wee's Big Adventure still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Saw it the other day. One of my favorite Tim Burton movies. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Tom, did you see much in the way of stuff about Alice while you were there? And what do you have high expectations? I don't even know if you're a fan of Tim Burton's work.
I'm kind of middle of the road on Tim Burton. I didn't really love The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Blasphemy.
Yeah.
Shocking. I didn't hate it. I had the exact same reaction to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That you had, Scott, which is like, nah, I think it's because I loved Gene Wilder and I loved that film so much that it changed the movie. Just bugged me.
Yeah.
I am more fascinated with Nine.
Yeah.
Yes.
That looks pretty cool to me. But yeah, I haven't seen the Alice trailer yet, so I can't form an opinion. I definitely am not going to see it just because it's Tim Burton. Tim Burton always interests me, though. He always does interesting things. I'm always tempted, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm one of those few people. I know there's like no one like me, and that's fine, but I actually kind of like Planet of the Apes, his version.
Yeah, I like it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. I like Mark Wahlberg.
There's three of us.
Look at you. Yeah, see, I really thought Tim Roth's take on that monkey or that chimpanzee military leader guy, he was awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
I mean, there's no comparison to Charlton Heston and his fist at the Statue of Liberty. It's just not the same. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining.
Oh, finally, I found some people who agree with me on that. I take so much heat for that movie, but I like.
Oh well, really? We're all going to take more heat now because a lot of people hate that.
But honestly, that didn't feel like a Tim Burton movie though either. It just felt
not
like
at all.
Anybody could have done that. It didn't feel like Tim Burton at all to me. But what do I know?
Yeah, there was no stop motion or anything. It was just.
Yeah, there's a lot of CGI in this Alice in Wonderland thing, so be prepared for that.
Tons.
Yeah.
A little worried about that. And creepy, too. Creepy kind of CGI.
But see, Alice in Wonderland is creepy. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, yeah, it is. As long as the right things are creepy.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because it should have some creepy. There's some creepiness to it. It's an acid trip, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Maybe, it is.
Maybe Johnny Depp will have his wiener out. I'm just kidding.
It's a sleepover.
It's a sleepover. It's a Utah sleepover.
That's what they call it these days. Oh, but I was going to point out one movie, because we just talked about CGI so much, one movie that uses no CGI that's absolutely worth going to see if you can find it in a theater near you is Moon.
Oh, I hear it's awesome.
Really?
And there's no, I just realized somebody mentioned, they're like, do you know there's no CGI in that movie? I'm like, it's a space movie that takes place on the moon, and there's no CGI.
Yeah, they use old-fashioned stuff. It's like Star Wars all over again, Star Wars Episode 4. It's like all like just, miniatures.
Just
and,
like like the moon landing. I mean, it's all...
it's like the real thing. They're just
Except they got the shadows right in the movie. Here.
You know what? I am way excited to see that. I haven't had time to go, and I know it's open in less theaters overall. It's kind of pretty good.
Yeah, you might have to catch it on DVD. It's kind of... It's trickling out there.
It is so my kind of movie, though. Everything I hear about it is like, oh, I gotta see
it. For anybody who wants to know, the premise is there's this guy who's on a mining colony on the moon alone with no one but him and his computer, goes outside and finds his own dead body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, that's a trip. Yeah. And it's not just any guy. That's, what's his name? I can't think of his name all of a sudden. I love this actor. What's his name? Ah.
Well, what's his name?
Oh, come on.
Danny DeVito?
No, he was in...
Wasn't Danny DeVito? Eddie Murphy?
No, my brain just went dead. It's the guy from Galaxy Quest, who the red shirt.
Tim Burton?
Oh, my gosh. This is going to kill me. I'm looking
Tim Allen?
Up. No, it's not Tim Allen, dude. Sam Rockwell. There we go.
Sam Rockwell.
I love Sam Rockwell. I watch anything with Sam Rockwell in it. And it features the voice of Kevin Spacey as the computer, which is cool.
Yeah, and the computer is sort of a friendly computer, unlike Hal. But you don't know how friendly. It's weird how his programming plays out, though. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, and the director, by the way, is Duncan Jones, the son of David Bowie. So you know there's trouble there.
David Bowie's real name is David Jones. That's what the Jones is from. But Duncan's original name was Zoe, and he changed it to Duncan.
I can't blame the guy. My Your name was originally Zoe Bowie.
Yeah, I would kill. Yeah.
I'm going to Duncan, and I'm picking Jones in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I heard an interview with him. He seems like a really, really nice guy. And a guy that is not that interested in talking about his dad. Like, it kept coming up. So how does it feel to be David Bowie's son? He's like, you know what, really? I just want to talk about my movie. You know,
it feels really annoying because I keep asking you what it feels like to be David Bowie's son.
And you I didn't
even like
us.
The man.
I hate him.
Yeah.
He's a freak. All right. Well, that's going to be about it for the show. Holy crap. We have gone a little long even, but I knew this was going to be a little long. It always is when we talk about Comic-Con. I really, really, really want to get out there next year, and I've got some artist friends and comic book buddies and webcomic friends that are all pushing to get me gone. So I'm really hoping to get out there next year. So that should be fun. Hopefully next year it won't be so big. Nobody can get in edgewise, but it does sound like they're managing it pretty well. So I got to thank you, Tom, because you know, on your own dime, went to Comic-Con and then took your time out tonight to come talk about it. So it's much appreciated.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was more Comic-Con expert for you. But
I like the view from someone who's just sort of there to see stuff and take in what you want to take in. And we've heard enough talking heads all week from all the major nerd sites that are covering every every little thing that's being said or shown. So it's kind of nice to have a different take, but.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it should be a good time. But as always, you can follow Tom over there at CNET.com. He does too much over there to even mention. Actually, TomMerritt.com is the place to go.
That's kind of where I try to collect it all.
He'll find his Twitter there and everything else. And do look forward to Tom and I's next episode, episode 2 of Forecast, which will be, I think we're recording next Thursday. And it will feature Leo Laporte and hopefully Jim Louderback from Revision 3, if he is able to get the time right. We're not sure yet, but we're going to work on that. And that will be huge fun. Yeah, that's great to do that. So it's always wonderful to have you here.
Thanks, man. It's always fun to be on. Although one of these days, if I am on again, I would like to be on with no offense, Brian, but I kind of not sure he exists. Like you just create him from an audio
file. I feel
the
same way.
It's possible. I just have a little soundboard. I have a little soundboard over here where it's just like, so, how was your week? Pepe Del Fuego. Okay. Yeah, we fake it really well.
No, wait a minute, Scott.
Good times. So then, Brian, you do stuff, too.
Yeah, I do stuff. Just look up mywifeisgonnakillme.com, and I'm just kidding.
And you're right there, big picture. Brian is at missiondeep.com, comicscoasttocoast.com, and, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at /missiondeep.
And, that is correct.
That's always fun to do because you can find
And soon, and for too much longer, Heroes for You.
Heroes for You. We got the little promo playing at the end of the show, so listen for that. But Brian and I on the upcoming Heroes for You Season 1 starts this fall.
going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be
no smoke monsters.
It's going to be a blast. Tom doesn't know this yet, but he's going to have a guest starring role.
Oh, I am. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I haven't told him yet.
But I can't wait.
Yeah, this is going to be totally fun. And you've got Tom has access to really great recording equipment, which is part of my reason. No, it's not the my only reason is it's Tom. But yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully you guys will look forward to that as well. More info coming as I know about it. All right, everybody, thank you so much for being here. This has been a great episode. We really appreciate you showing up. Thank you, chat room. You guys are awesome. Thanks to Rob once again for doing our music, Skyhawk for other music. Thanks to Scott Fletcher for his fine voice work that we use each and every week. Thanks to my wife who allows me to even do this at night. Thanks to everybody else for being here. It's been a real treat. I can't wait to talk to you guys again soon, which should be, I'm really trying to get back to weekly, but we've had these cons come up and I was out of town and I had stuff come up. We really are working at it. So anyway, keep an eye on things and we'll let you know. Of course, you can follow me at twitter.com/extralife. And for everything else you need to know about this show, including archives and forums and everything else, go to myextralife.com. So, unless I am put in jail for what I did last week, we will see you guys next show. Until then, take care.
In a time where crime runs rampant and evil minds are free to devise their wicked will on innocent people everywhere. In a city where ordinary citizens are free to leave their own homes in fear that none will answer their desperate screams for assistance. What men will come to the rescue of the weak and helpless? Who will rise up with strength and extraordinary power to save the day at last? In that day of reckoning, you'll know the new name of justice. The Screaming Torpedo and Laser Boy. Heroes for you.
Oh, great. I know that look. What'd you do this time?
Yeah, I left a bag of marshmallows on the dashboard again.
Oh, dude, it's 102 degrees out there. I had that thing detailed 2 days ago. That's just perfect.
I kind of like it. The pasture seat smells like camping.
Go away.
Can I eat it?
Go.
Heroes for You, Season 1, coming this fall. 12 episodes starring Scott Johnson as the Screaming Torpedo and Brian Dunaway as Laser Boy, his intrepid sidekick. Hair-raising tales of adventure, special guest stars, evil masterminds, and... well, you get the idea. 12 straight weeks of mind-blowing action. For more information, visit heroesforyou.com. This fall, our city will never be the same.
Oh. Wait, wait for it. Wait for it. This may be the most dramatic part of the story.
Okay. Oh, and immediately I think I see a big lumpy dude laying on a couch.